Dear congregation, greetings. Thank you, Lord, for the past week of blessing. We continue to prepare to get used to all the equipment for the live streams when we get together next week. We continue to worship online like this. This is also the first Sunday of the month we will have communion. If you have not prepared of bread in a cup, so let's pause and prepare for yourself a small piece of bread to represent the body of Christ and the cup to represent the blood of Christ. After the message, we will have communion together. The message today with the title, Which Side Are You On? And the scripture is in John chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. The key verse is in John chapter 5 verse 40. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Let's all read together one more time. The key verse. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Dear congregation, last week I received a news. Mrs. Laden, widow, with her maiden name, Mai Thi Nguyen, has passed away on July 1st in Vietnam. She was 88 years old. This widow had come to our church in 1996 when she called me. They have moved from Vietnam to Colorado Springs and wanted to participate to our church. And they become members of our church. They lived here for about 10 years. Her husband passed away, and then she went back to Vietnam. When in Vietnam, she also came to a Vietnamese church near a town west of Saigon. And this is where she has been living. And she participated in many activities at the church. However, the day she passed away, I know that her family has made the burial according to the Buddhist tradition. Many times I think that are the children of God in the church. I'm asking myself at this time, with this widow, her soul, where would she go? Would she be with Christ or not? All the important things, the decision about this widow, whether she is with Christ or not, lie in her decision before she passed away. If she committed her life to Christ, and it is confirmed by God, though the burial is according to the Buddha tradition, she still is with Christ after she passed away. But if, while she was living, she did not confirm her relationship with Christ, though even her burial is according to the Christian tradition to pray for her, she would never have be with Christ after she died. Her departure reminded me a hymn in the book, hymn book. Which side are you on? It has this lyric. There's only one way to paradise, but there are two sides, inside and outside. Which side are you on? there's only one gate to heaven that separated. I'm inside. How about you? Which side do you stand? This widow has come to the gate of heaven. She might be inside, or she is outside. It's upon her decision. You and I, same way. While we still have the opportunity to decide on this earth, which side do we decide to be? We all want to be with Christ or outside of heaven, outside of Christ, though we are very near to the gate. That decision is on us. Let's all pray, asking for guidance, for wisdom to decide for ourselves which part of heaven will we belong. Dear our Heavenly Father, the Creator of our life, we thank you for knowing and calling you as our Father in your love. We are a precious children. We thank you because your word still reminding us while we have the opportunity, each of us, we have to make a decision. We can be inside with Jesus or we are outside. It is according to our decision for our own life. So let us, our life, or we have decided to be part of heaven where Christ is. May you guide us in your word. May we understand your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear congregation, this is the first Sunday of the month. I want to choose in John 19:24, talking about the soldiers that are hanging Christ on the cross. We will think about the attitude of these soldiers. What have they done for themselves? And so we can learn something based on their attitude. We can learn something. There are 3 points that I want to share with you this morning that we can learn together so we can make the right decision. First, we can carry out responsibility without thinking. These soldiers have done their responsibility without thinking much. The second point, we have to avoid not to be tempted by our meaningless desire. The third point, we have to avoid our stereotype inside of us. The first point, let's think about these soldiers. They have carried out their responsibility without thinking. When the soldier crucified after they dividing the outer garment and inside garment, there was seamless. So they said, let's not share, but let's decide by lot who will get it. That just fulfilled the prophecy. They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. This is a group of 5 soldiers with 1 centurion as the leader. These soldiers, they divided the outer garment in 4. Each one of them get one. And inside, they said, this is a seamless piece. So they just want to cast lots. And what they have done, what can we learn from that? Because a Christian went to church, but he didn't learn much about the Bible. He has a Bible, so when he thought he has a problem, he just opened the Bible and then take the guidance from the Word of God that way. One day, in his business, he failed. He failed miserably. And so he was so sad that he lost his business. All his friends despised him. So he decided to open the Bible to see how the God would guide him while during his failure in business. He decided he will open the open and put a finger anywhere, and that will be when the God will answer him that way. He opened and put his finger, and he pointed to Matthew chapter 2, 7, verse 5. It reads, "So Judas threw the money in the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself." Oh, he was so afraid. Oh, I'm not going to die like this. Oh, dear God, can you give me another verse? Maybe, would you ask me to hang myself? So he opened up and pointed a finger to another part. And he looked down, and his finger pointed at Luke 10:37. And this says, Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Oh, he's so afraid again. Oh, God, why did you want me to hang myself? Oh, maybe I have to find the third verse. So he put another point, and he looked. It's in John 13:27. It reads like this. Jesus said to Judas, like this, "What you are about to do, do quickly." Dear congregation, your life and mine is are we depending on the way we read the Bible that way. We have to have a true faith in God. Wow. Or we just carry out our responsibility without thinking, just like the soldier. Here's a soldier. They carry out their responsibility without thinking about this court case. This is a strange court case. Maybe in their lives, they have many court cases, and this is not a strange because the punishment of the cross is very usual for the Jews. But why is this a strange case? A strange case because this accused has been accused from now before until this court case has never been at the night. But why did Jesus get accused that was condemned overnight? And this is only concerning the religious of the Jewish people. And this has not happened during the night. But in Jesus' case, it happened at the night. And he had to go through many courts. And Jesus was brought to Pilate to make a decision. Normally, all the accused, when they were beaten, or to condemn them to death, they had a chance to talk. But the soldier would be surprised that Jesus did not speak one word before the accuser. To be quiet with the opportunity to defend himself, even when they were beating Jesus, Jesus did not cry out. Why did Pilate, who crucified Jesus, to nail him on the cross just so quickly like that, though he could not find any evidence to condemn Jesus? But the soldiers, all they have know is to carry out their responsibility without any thinking. Why is there such a strange accuse? They did not have any kind of emotion in their conscience. They only want to carry out responsibility. They didn't know that they have nailed the one who has authority over life. And Jesus is the one who can save them from the death. The Jewish person have five things that are attached to them. A head is one. The outer garment, the inside garment, the foot is a pair of shoes, and this is a belt. Any Jewish man has five things attached to their life, and some others may have a staff, but most, these five things, all these are attached to the body of a Jewish man, the head, the outer garment, and Jesus was taking the garment, outer garment, inside. They divided the outer garment into four. Each one got one piece. The inner garment without seam, so they cast lots to win that inner garment. Dear congregation, they're at the foot of the cross. They are doing that they didn't understand what they were doing. They didn't understand that up in the cross, there is Jesus who died for their sin. At the foot, they divide the garments of Jesus. Maybe Jesus only has a normal garment. It's not of a noble nature. It's not even good. We don't understand why they have to decide the outer garment, because they couldn't use it. Even if anybody win the lot to get the inner garment, would that person use it? A garment belonged to just a very lowly prophet. They have done that. On the cross, God has made the best for them. They give them his own son to sacrifice. God loved them. But at the foot of the cross, they despise that person on the cross. They mock him. They mock him in front of others by dividing the outer garment as well as getting lots for the inner garment. On the cross, God expressed his love, but at the foot of the cross, they mock God, mock the Son of God. On the cross, God has done a blessing for them, give them salvation, give them a way out, but at the foot of the cross, they only wish to share the garments among themselves. They performed their responsibility. They could not understand that Jesus has done for them, because they only carry out the responsibility without any conscience. There's a story of a young soldier named Hambrum, only 20 years old, but he has some responsibility in the French army. He's a good soldier, but except he loves to drink. And every time he was drunk, and he was cursing for beating his own soldier. One day, he was so drunk, and he beat up a colonel who is his boss. According to the military law of French at that time, to beat your higher officer is worth death. And the colonel has the ability to bring him to court to receive death sentence. But this young soldier has the potential to become a leader to help the French government. So this colonel did not bring him to court to have a death sentence, but told him, "I can ask for your forgiveness, but with one condition. You have to promise me one thing. From now on, you will never drink again." Cameron told this leader that, "If I can keep my promise, nobody will watch me to know that I will not use alcohol again." And the colonel said, "Only you promise me on your good name, then I believe you. And if I will know that you will carry that out." Cameron was moved by this. He said, I will promise on my good name. From here until the end, I will not touch the alcohol again. And he succeeded in doing that. And after a long period, 20 years, one day, Cameron visited, has been promoted, and he went to visit his officer leader. And they were very happy to see each other. This Colonel Neil took out a bottle of wine and invited Cameron to drink. But many times Cameron refuses. And the Colonel surprised, "Well, so long we have not seen each other. Why don't we celebrate this opportunity I have invited and you have received?" And Cameron said, "Dear my leader, without your love, forgiveness in the old times, and because of your love, that I will forgive him, and I have promised from now on, then on, I would not touch him. So that I have to refuse your invitation to drink right now, because I do not want to forfeit my promise. Dear congregation, Cameron, because of his good name, has carried out a promise to this colonel, and he kept his promise. Though before this temptation, Cameron continued to remember what he promised, because he considered the forgiveness from his leader, officer. Now he is alive instead of chasing death. God is loving us, each one of us, because he created us. We've been created for a good purpose. That is, we have to have a relationship with God. Today, in the church, how many people come to the church on Sunday that they think that to worship God is going to be pleasing to them? Many have come. They come just like a responsibility. It could be, "I'm so tired, but I have to drive my wife and son to church, so I will stay and worship." Maybe there is a need at the church to rearrange the furniture, so I will come to help out to do that. If I'm not have come, somebody will say, "I'm not concerned with the church, for today it is my turn to teach the young, or my turn to lead the worship." All these motivations to cause us to go to church, to worship God. Is it because of responsibility, or is it a desire to see God? When we come to the church, what is the true motivation? To see our friends, and every week we need to see them, or we are desiring to see God, to seek God? Next week, we will begin to open the church. And I know there are many who want to sign up. I want to ask a question. We come to the church to worship God because we want to seek God, or only to see our friends? If we carry out this according to responsibility without thinking and not pleasing God, maybe what we do is also meaningless. At the church, many have come because of responsibility, but many have not come because they have other responsibilities. Oh, I have to take care of my family, to work some days to have more income, to satisfy the need. Many say, "Oh, I have to keep the house because nobody home is dangerous." And some say, "Someday I have to go to the market because the rest of the week I was so busy. I have maybe do laundry on Sunday to entertain guests. So once in a while I have friends come over, so I have to stay at home. So they can mow the lawn, but sometimes say to do some other things. Every time we have excuse to make us not run to the church. And because of that, we feel it's right according to our sinful nature. New congregation. All of these things. We have to entertain ourselves. We have to do something. May not be sinful in our eyes, but we remember anything that caused our relationship with God to be fading away, it becomes a secondary and not a priority. We have to be careful because all these things become a barrier. We do not think about our relationship with God. We do not understand the fact that we go to church to seek God. Your congregation. Most of us put our faith in God because we have experienced all the blessings that God gives us. But to experience the salvation, or we just seek after the blessing only for this life. The key verse in said, "You have not come to me to have life." We come to God to have life, to Jesus to have life. Many of us, we desire to come to experience this thing and blessing, but do we come to experience life? When we come to the sanctuary to worship, maybe we hope somebody will see us to praise us. Or we want to do it to please God. To serve God is the life in Christ expressed through our life. Peter, in 5:2-5, he recommended such as, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing." Do not because of the some advantage. Do not come to do a responsibility, but we have to be a role model to others. When we see our Jesus, the shepherd, Jesus, we will not be ashamed when we put faith in Jesus, but we will lift our high, our head to worship our Lord. Think again. Through our serving Christ, we do it as a responsibility without thinking, or we thank the Lord to save us, and then God can use our skill and time to serve Him, to please Him, to carry our responsibility without thinking about it, is something we need to have. The second point, that these soldiers, they chose to be attracted to many meaningless desires. At the front, there's a crowd from afar looking towards. There are many opposed to Jesus. Many have trapped Jesus. Or many are trying to get him to be nailed on the cross. The Pharisees, those are the high priests, the Sadducees, the rich person in the crowd, they are activists, and those in the crowd, they are so close to Jesus as well. At the foot of the cross, far away, maybe Mary, mother of Jesus there, she saw his son nailed on the cross. This fulfilled the Simeon, the prophet, had told Mary, "You will be happy, sword piercing you, and your pain is just like that. And Wu Sheng, she saw Jesus on the cross. She must be hurt just like being pierced by a sword. Maybe there is Mary Magdalene, who Jesus put out 7 beads from her. She would be thankful. She does not want to see Jesus on the cross like that. But she is, saw Jesus like that on the cross, but she feels helpless. At the near the cross, there was John, a love apostle that Jesus loved the most. The one who listened to Jesus in the night that he was betrayed, who asked Jesus, dear Jesus, who will betray you? He's a young apostle. He is an enthusiastic follower. He wished at that time to do something to help Jesus on the cross. And he was beaten and nailed on the cross. John was helpless. Maybe Peter, also there, and just last night, talked to Jesus, I will die with you, Jesus. I will not betray you. I will not deny you. But last night, Peter, that same Peter, denied Jesus, not just once, but 3 times. Just upon the days of Jesus, Peter cried bitterly, just last night. But today, Jesus was executed on the cross. There are other apostles, the followers. There are other leaders, all of them. Everybody wants to come close to the cross. This is the time they wanted to be near Jesus. But maybe all of them who are have a blood relation with Christ or his disciples, or the one loving Jesus, they can be just afar from afar. There is a barrier by the soldier. They would not let them be close to Jesus. But if the soldier, the one who named Jesus, they have a at the cross right now. When they named Jesus, they took his garment and divided among themselves, and the inner garment they threw lot to win. Do not tear the inner garment, but let's throw lot to see who will win it. Your congregation, the soldier is in position to give them an opportunity to think what they are doing, to experience salvation, experience forgiveness, but they refuse. The soldier is nearest to the cross, but the most far away from the love of God. They are watching over the body of Jesus, but they are the most far away from the blood of Christ. They witness all the things that happened to Jesus, but in their hearts, they have no emotion. They're not concerned with who is on that cross. With them to have a lot to win the garment is the most important question. They mock Jesus. They despise. And they are happy when they can win that physical garment. The congregation at the cross, God has an opportunity for us to reconnect to that connection at this cross when Jesus breathe the last. There's a big earthquake that the curtain has been torn in two, and all the tomb has been shaken. The dead became alive again, resurrected. So many have seen in this earthquake. This centurion may not see, receive, but according to the scripture, with this, the centurion may understand that he declared something very important. He declared a truth, explained it in Matthew chapter 27. Surely he was the Son of God, declared the centurion. We don't know whether the centurion continued to have faith in Christ or not. Would he receive this truth in his life, or only a particular moment that he declared and then passed away? Dear congregation, Jesus said, you refuse to come to me to have life. There's only one way to receive life. There's only one way to be in eternal life with God. That each one must make a decision for him or herself. Matthew chapter 19:90 says, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. You and I can understand God's love, but maybe we are being kept in a lost condition. We can feel to be forgiven, but we are slave to our desire. We can understand the value is so precious, but we are tied up with all the busyness of life that we have no time to pray. You can understand the relationship with God, but the busyness of life has kept us from praying to God and relating to God. We put faith in God. So please give me the good opportunity to have a good job, a good business, to be peace, but to become to Jesus to receive life. Because Jesus said, you have a few to come to me to receive life. The importance of the blessing from God to have a good life. But the important thing is that it's life of Jesus. There's a businessman in India. One day, he went to see an evangelist to give a giving. And he put a check of $150. At that time, $150 is really a large sum of money. After he gave the check to the treasurer of the Evangelical Association, he received a news from the ship that is supposed to deliver all his goods to his business was having a storm, and then all his delivery was lost at sea. This businessman received this news and turned around with the treasurer of this event center. I have lost all my delivery. All I have lost that I see, maybe I have to rewrite the check for you. And this treasurer said, oh, I understand your situation. We give according to what our situation calls for. And the business took back the check and rewrote the check. And this time, this check gave to the treasurer, and he saw that $600. And this treasurer said, oh, did you make a mistake? Did you mean to write $60? But here, you wrote $600. And I understand your situation. You lost all your delivery at sea. So maybe $60 is enough. And that's something we are also thankful. God will recognize your heart. But this businessman said, no, did not make a mistake. This amount is $600. Because when I received the news that I lost my delivery at sea, it is a message to my heart. Will you store your treasure on earth? If you want your treasure to last, then you have to store it in heaven. And that's the reason I want to give $600. Dear congregation, none of the businessmen would have wanted to lose their goods, but God made his business would dare to do like this one in India. But he did it because you want to listen to the word of God and obey it. So we have to draw our pressure in heaven, not on the near problems. And we have the opportunity to understand God's will. Will we let our desire or any advantages that we have in on this life to keep us, that will keep us from approaching the Christ on the cross? Because the blessing is the life, eternal life, as Jesus said. You refuse to come to me to have life. Think about our life to see what is our temptation to keep us from receiving eternal life. And many things in this life is preventing us to receive eternal life. May we examine our own heart. If we carry our specialty without thinking, there must be something meaningful in the will of God for our life. Or we've been attracted to something that causes us to keep us from having a true relationship with us. May we be forgiven to examine. The third point we share with you. Maybe these soldiers have been some bias inside their heart. According to the Bible, these court case is only the Jewish, someone who declared himself to be a Messiah, and others refuse to accept this declaration, and they bring themselves to court, and at the end, this person is accused of the crime. I don't know what the Messiah, the soldier, said. If there is idol, I have an idol. If somebody to worship, I have Caesar, the soldier said, to worship. I have what I have. I understand what I need. I experience what I have experienced. To the soldiers, the fact that Jesus is on the cross has no value to them. Their joy, they can divide the outer garments. They don't know that they forget the opportunity to receive Christ, to understand God's love. Because they did not understand God died on the cross for their own sin. And next to that, there is a thief. He's also been there. But this one say, and recognize something important. He said to Jesus, this thief, dear Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And this person recognized God is a king, has a kingdom. When he comes into his kingdom, please remember me. So, he saw Jesus is nailed on the cross just like himself. But he knows that Christ will rise again to come into his kingdom. But he asked for one thing. When you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me. And that prayer has been accepted. And at that night, you will be with me in paradise, Jesus said to the thief. Maybe this first person to come into the kingdom of God with Jesus. This congregation, they are happy, the soldiers, to receive the garments of Jesus. But they did not know that they lost the opportunity to have salvation. We can be happy with the temporary thing, but we lost the opportunity to receive salvation. Elvis Presley is the king of rock music. He is a famous rock musician, many followers. Elvis has produced many records, and he has a big income from that. He become a millionaire. One day, somebody come to Elvis saying, if you are rich in the world without rich in God, what good is it for you? Presley mocked and laughed. And he refused, but he promised I will believe in Christ when I have another million in my bank account. And that time I will believe in Jesus. But he only gave him. If we cut short before he earned the next million. In chapter Matthew 16 verse 26. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? For what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The soldier was satisfied with themselves, not concerning the wonderful person on the cross. Maybe today, between myself and yours, there are many of us can't feel like it's enough to just come to church, to participate activity, the small group, or any activities that we participate, but we do not see the lack that our relationship with God is lacking. We feel that we have enough knowledge. We feel we have enough possession, but not recognizing that we lost so much that God is preparing for us. Many of us maybe feel proud of our own morality because I was born in a righteous family. I have education and become a righteous person in society. But that person has no understanding of the love of God in their life. They are happy with the blessing in this life without knowing that the most important is the relationship with Christ. Dear congregation, our faith today, not just to please ourselves, our faith must be pleasing to the one who created us, our creator, the Jesus who is nailed on the cross for our sin. Jesus said, but you refuse to come to me to have life. Do you think that you truly come to Jesus and experience everlasting life yet? Anything in us can confirm that for us? You're coming. The last part that we just read said, they divide my clothes among them is fulfilling the Bible in Psalm chapter 22. In the old days, David said in Psalm 22 verse 18, is a prophecy. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. And it happened that the soldier divided the outer garment and then cast lots to win the inner garment to fulfill this prophecy. Why do the Bible have prophecy about Jesus that fulfilled in the New Testament? These are the things that God has planned long ago. These are the things that God wants to happen. So he forewarned in the Old Testament so that many generations in New Testament witness the fulfillment of the scripture. There are many things that happen at the end of his life that fulfill the scripture. Someone, you that has denied Jesus, the centurion divided the garments of Jesus. He was buried with the rich according to the prophecy. And Joseph Arimathea has dedicated his tomb for Jesus' burial. There are many, many promises that prophesy about Jesus. But all these things, why was it fulfilled in the New Testament? And what God has fulfilled the promise in the Old Testament talk about his understanding of our human race. He understands Judas will deny Jesus. God knew that the soldier would divide the garment and even the piercing of the side, but also fulfill the There is no bone broken in the body of Jesus to fulfill the prophecy. And God knows that there will be a Joseph Arimathea to use his own tomb to bury Jesus. And today, that burial place has become a famous place for the visitor to come and witness the empty tomb to prove that Jesus did is resurrected from the dead. Everyone must make a decision for ourselves. Judas was not something God planned, but pity for to the one who died. These are the people not God planned for them to mock Jesus at the foot of the cross, but they are unbelief. They are standing at the roads of the wicked. Their disbelief to cause the prophecy of the Old Testament to be fulfilled. God knows everything. Who reigns over all events of our history. Dear congregation, the soldiers, they divide the garments. But Jesus has no reaction. Why? Because Jesus' love rises above all our thinking. And because of that, he was silent, except the suffering. There's a king. Sedecus is a king. He is an emperor to have law and order in the country, to have a very harsh punishment to punish whoever commits adultery or terrorist sexual harassment. Two eyes will be gouged out. And this is a strict law. And nobody will commit. But one day, they capture someone who committed adultery. He committed adultery. But the soldiers took this person and they would not bring that person to the king because that is the king's son, the prince. When the soldier brought this prince to Philip, told his son, "If my son is blind with two eyes, I could not stand it. But if my punishment could not be carried out, I could not be the king of this country. So I want to ask to get one eye from this prince, but one eye from myself." Zelenkis has a way out to resolve the issue for the prince by sacrificing own eyes so that the prince can continue to have one eye. This is what God is doing for us. We are all sinners before God. None of us is good. Just like the soldier at the foot of the cross. They all are sinners, needing forgiveness. But why did Jesus silent? Because Christ wants to carry upon him the sin of all the world. He did not want the sin to be counted on us, so that he wants his clothes, his garment to protect the believers. He was naked so that we can be clothed with the glory of God. Because all our efforts on this earth, we try to have our own righteousness to cover our own sin. That won't work. But God said, all of our efforts is only, it's just a dirty rag. Or it's just a dirty rag used to cover our own shame for this. It has no value. Our own righteousness. Jesus knew that the fact that he was wrote this role and naked so that others can win that. Because he loved us. The tiger, which side do you choose? Which when you refuse, which side you will choose? You will choose Jesus. You choose to be with the world. To be full of things of this world. Do we choose Jesus in our everlasting life? Or we choose this world to be outside of heaven? That we will be separated from God forever. May God give us, will not be in the same situation with these soldiers at the foot of the cross. They've been drawn to something meaningless with all the stereotype thinking. May we be guided by the Holy Spirit. May we understand the importance of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are so patient with us. But Christ has been silent on the cross to accept the death sentence. God agreed to turn his face, not saving Christ from the cross, because he wants to love us and give us life. May we listen and hear your word. But you refuse to come to me to have life. We thank you because you have done something the best for our life, and that is the punishment of our sin on the cross. You let us know about, but how do we experience your love? May we have a true faith in you to experience eternal life that Christ has brought to us by sacrificing himself on the cross. We lift everything we have to you. May you bless each one of us. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.